Hello, everybody. Welcome to the third and final webinar in this Health, Fitness, Vitality, Think Well, Eat Well, Move Well webinar series we've been doing. Thank you very much for your time. I know it's the most precious resource that you have for me. So I'm very excited, very pleased to see you all here tonight. And without any further ado, we'll get started. So tonight's syntax was pretty straightforward. Along with the Think Well that we have been working on in the first one, and the second one was Eat Well. Tonight is Move Well. So moving is about getting to the gym, getting to an exercise plan, how we're going to stick to it. We want to look at the latest research on fitness and design an optimal, exciting exercise plan for you. And we want to look at some new technology. As always, the Inevitable You system is on the cutting edge. I'm constantly researching, studying the best in class, the best latest plans, theory, thought, psychology, discarding, keeping, maintaining, growing, adding to, as the case may be. So I'm very, very excited to work with you guys tonight. Now, I did want to start with one tiny errata from last time. This is the slide. I didn't show you guys the slide because I pulled this from memory. I feel pretty good that this is actually from a weekend, three-day weekend we did almost 3 years ago. I remembered the 400 pounds correctly, but I missed the six. I said 6 tons instead of 6,000 pounds. I don't know that that should matter greatly, but I work very hard to be accurate. And one of the great viewers wrote us and said, hey, I don't believe your statistic. And she was correct. The point to this one, let me pick up a pen for you that you can see on this background. In the 1900s, the average American was eating 10 pounds of sugar a year. So by the age of 20, you had consumed about 200 pounds. And at the age of 40, 400 pounds of sugar. And that's pretty much in keeping with what your pancreas and other endocrinological systems can handle. But in the 40s, as we talked, when the fat was taken out by the government saying fat was bad, the only way that they could eat well was to and taste well was to put sugar, high fructose corn syrup, other artificial sweeteners in. And what it did is the average American by the year 2000, just 100 years later, is consuming 150 pounds of sugar per year, which means by the time you're 20, the average American has consumed 3,000 pounds, and the average 40-year-old is 6,000 pounds or 3 tons. The point being that your pancreas absolutely cannot handle that load. That's why we see such a rise in early onset diabetes, because pancreases are wearing out at about the same rate they always have. It's just by the age of 5, 6, 8, 10, and these are averages, the obese Americans are most likely eating more. The pancreas just can't handle it. So I wanted to make sure that we cleaned up that slide. And if anybody ever has any issues, comments, questions, challenges for me, because again, I do a lot of great cutting edge stuff, don't hesitate to call, to write, to reach out to us, both on the call or after the call. This one came in, by the way, after the call, so I'm always happy to correspond with you. So move well. Let's talk about what that means. Most people look at it as a get to the gym kind of psychology, get outdoors, find exercise for you that will work and creates movement for you. And you're absolutely correct. Moving in an exercise pattern, and as we're going to talk about today, moving just in your daily work environment is incredibly important. And in order for it to be successful, it's going to be very important that you create your plan. This is unique. This is the inevitable you. Whether you're a dancer, whether you're yoga, whether you're a weightlifter, whether you're martial arts, whether you just like some of the new fun stuff, whether it's kettlebells or Bosa balls. You know, for people that tell me, Yeah, but I don't really enjoy working out. No 4-year-old, and you know my famous 4-year-olds. I love my 4-year-olds. That's us in our natural state. No 4-year-old has ever said, I really don't like motion. I really don't like movement. They run everywhere they go. They move all the time. They can't sit still. They have a hard time. That's what we are meant to do. So you have to ask yourself, if you're attending this webinar series, if you're watching this in a video environment, to ask yourself, when was the last time that I had fun moving my body and exercising? And I always love this slide. This is one of my favorite slides. If you did that when you were a kid, then your childhood was awesome because you're always playing, you're always doing crazy, fun, exciting things. You can still have fun. You can still move and do crazy things. You can enjoy yourself. Don't be stuffy. Don't worry about what other people think. Yeah, sometimes you're going to have to be straightforward in a business meeting or in a serious moment in life. But when it's playtime, it's play. And play out and playing is very different than working out because I have to work out in order to what? Maintain some dress size, some scale number, some opinion that people have of you. Part of the reason why, and when you struggle with your body, you are also struggling most likely with love. You're struggling with money. You might even be struggling spiritually. You'll find the places because at the end of the day, struggle is a function of the operating system. Now, we did a lot in the first webinar about thinking, so we're going to refresh some of those points, but this is really a webinar that's focused on movement and exercise itself. But when people don't engage in exercise and don't move, they generally have some story they're telling themselves that they're too old, or maybe they're too busy, or they've gotten so far out of shape, they feel awkward. Well, what am I going to do? Even if I walk in my neighborhood, I feel funny. What are people thinking? Or and even if you're an above average athlete and you're not pushing into the extremes, we're always looking at moving from where we are and moving right on the continuum to get more potentiality, get more power, to get more inevitability to our operating system, to the software, so that it drives this vessel, this spacesuit, this human body, this amazing human body that we're traveling in. And if you're busy talking about, focused on, worried about, thinking about, I'm too something, yeah, stop that. Here's what you need to do. You need to jump, you need to run, you need to play. You need to figure out how to move your body. Move your body. Move your body all the time. Have fun. Enjoy. Even if you're out of shape, if you move your body today, you'll be in a little better shape tomorrow, the day after. Move your body. Have fun. When was the last time you were a kid that you ran around? You did something as silly as skipped somewhere from a parking lot into a store, or in a big field in a park because it was fun, that you ran somewhere because you were so excited to get there, to be there. And that's why the Think Well was really important that we did that 3 weeks ago, so that we can create this fun, exciting energy and connects everything is connected about how you think, how you feel, how your body moves. And when we're trying to figure out, well, we've got to feel better first and then we'll move. Well, no, we're not moving, so we're not feeling. You'll get all jammed up over there. Just begin to move consciously after tonight, wherever you are on your physical fitness spectrum, on your continuum, wherever you are. Don't look at why don't you, look at what you want to do. And when I ask my clients, why don't you, what I hear most often is this equation that I talked about. Somehow they'll get to it. They're in their future. They will. They most have not given up. They're not quitting yet. But when they do, somehow, yeah, there's a somehow, they'll get some results, which will somehow, you know, after they get to it and after they get the results, and somehow they're going to make it fun. It's just the opposite. You have the ability, because you have the ability to write the software, practice some of our ThinkWell tools. You have to make it fun today. If you're out of shape and just moving a little bit tomorrow causes pain, yeah, I don't care. Move a little bit. Enjoy yourself. Move at the pace your body can handle. Move slow. Take your time. Enjoy your movement that you do have. And create the fun now and let the body follow. Get very, very conscious about your fitness regime, your health, your energy, your vitality. This is all connected. This is not some onerous to-do list or some ego-based judgment that says, oh, I have to do this. I must do this. You will have so much more going on in your body when you make this fun and enjoyable. And the last thing in the introduction that I want to talk about is just have some great fun vision boards. Today, if you go to Google and you can do anything, you can enter exercise motivation, for instance, and look for posters, or you can append the word photo quote. When you put photo and or quote in there, you're going to get the old days of having a party where you had to, you know, get a stack of magazines and get scissors and start cutting and pasting and taping. You can still do a vision board. I haven't done a physical piece of paper, cardboard, vision board in, gosh, 10 years. It's all in my computer. So I thought in order to be rational and reasonable, these are some of my vision board pictures that I have up. Sometimes, and you don't have to take a lot of time to read these. You'll be able to read these in when I send out the notes. Sometimes they have a great quote, a great picture put together. Sometimes, you know, because when we look at the fact that I'm almost 60 years old, I like fitness at my age level. So looking at examples that motivate me, I'm not looking for a size 2 dress from some 20-year-old supermodel. That doesn't do a lot for me. Whatever motivates, inspires, excites your vision board, there is a great series of pictures that you can go find. And I look at these guys and I go, yeah, that's me. I feel that way inside. I want to move. I'm fiercely want to be like that. And then it's fun. And then it's motivation. And then it's enjoyable. Bruce Lee, for my entire life, in fact, since you're on this webinar, I'll give you a little close-held secret. It's one of a few tattoos that I have. I actually have a tattoo that's got a Bruce Lee Chinese signature to it. That's how important and motivational. I did start doing karate. I've done martial arts and mixed martial arts on a formal basis almost 17 years of my adult life. But I love Bruce Lee quotes. So if you have a specific person, you want to go enter their name and put inspirational photo quotes. Or you mix and match. You get a picture up and I use paint. You can right-click on the picture once you save it and you can open it with Microsoft Paint. And now you can do anything on the photo quote that you want. And sometimes to have a great message, if you want something that you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. So I'm asking you, as part of this webinar series, that this December is going to be unlike perhaps any December in recent memory, because generally we're between holidays, we're hitting the shortest days, you're in the Northern Hemisphere. We've got winter going on. We've got dark going on. We've got holidays going on, holiday parties. You're coming off Halloween candy. You're coming off Thanksgiving. Make December something that you have never, ever done before. Make this December different. Make it radical. Make it something. And watch what begins to happen with your body when you become this man, this woman. These kinds of people that can inspire you on your vision board, journaling, write these things out. Find the sacred space to want to be this person. Make it fun. Get very, very excited. Now, as part of the introduction, I also want to touch on buddies tonight. You know, if you're using your buddy that we assigned you, we have some newcomers. Make sure you get with us. We'll assign you buddies out of our pool. If you don't like your buddy, you guys aren't really doing something. Or if you find a buddy where you live, you know, how you feel walking into the gym with your weightlifting partner. Sometimes the accountability to find someone like you or someone who inspires you. Even if you just said, hey, this isn't forever. Let's just do this for December. Let's just have the best December we've ever had. Finding that accountability buddy, finding that battle buddy, finding that person that's going to help you go to the gym, try a new exercise. Maybe you're going to do Pilates. You've never tried it. Maybe you're going to do some of this crazy CrossFit. Personally, not a fan of CrossFit, but I see the benefits. We'll talk about high intensity movement tonight in the back half of the seminar when we look at the new physical fitness technology that I want to discuss with you. But getting that buddy, it will help you a lot, particularly because we want this poster. You've seen it in probably different forms. A great quote by Karen Lamb. A year from now, you'll wish you had started today. A month from now, you'll wish you had started today. Do this. Move this way. Focus this way. Thinking about exercising doesn't burn any calories. Planning to exercise doesn't burn any calories. You want to do this so much. Create this uplifting, positive addiction. Begin to change your habits. Now, again, a lot of those cues were built into the Think Well. And we applied Eat Well to our new thought pattern. So we turned food into fuel. We turned, you know, eating not into a needy, old you ego-based emotion. We turned it into a great, uplifting, exciting, I have a dream speech. Have you done your I have a dream speech? You know, I didn't go back and review that again in the notes this time. You've seen it twice. Do you have an I have a dream speech? And now to do an I have a dream speech on movement, and your dream is, it's fun to be in your body. The only body you're going to have this trip here. To create it, to change it, to elevate it. There is so much you can do. Now, this was a ThinkWell app, but it's just, again, we have to really look at what's the real target for moving. Is it for fitness? Is it energy and vitality and health? Or are you doing this for other reasons? And I don't care that you do it for other reasons. Doing it because you look better isn't a bad thing. Just knowing that having fun in how you move, knowing what the real target is, are you doing it, you know, because outside in someone told you you can't, or some old ghosty voice in your head, you know, that fitness is something that I will in my future, you know, oh, then. No, it's not the destination. It is a way of life. It is a choice. You want to move because movement is fun. and to fight to move the way you wish to move. Today, I don't care if you've been sedentary for a long time. I don't care if you're coming off an injury. I don't care if you're a great athlete. I got some great athletes on the call. They're looking for new stuff. Now, the thing that I always talk about with anybody that's on the upper end of the spectrum, because you are a leader, part of the value of doing this webinar is you look at other people and you go, well, why aren't they doing it? Why isn't it fun? I think exercise is fun. Oh, well, you know, I'm just unusual, or, you know, me and my friends are unusual because we think exercise is fun. There's something wrong, or we can't change this. No, you can. All four-year-olds think movement is fun. And so today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, these are all days that you can use to get something right and to really work on creating the habit. That's all you're doing, is you're changing habits, where now your habit might be to sleep in, or now your habit might be to think that and to feel that the gym is a hard place. That's a habit. You want to change that habit. You want to find the right workout arena, the right gym, the right basement, the right home equipment, the right outside, the right class. You can go to free university classes in your town, high school, YMCAs, to find people that are moving, that are doing Tai Chi or yoga on the soft side, CrossFit on the hard side, dancing, moving your body, walking, moving your body, exercising, moving your body. Go on Craigslist, find an exercise bike. Can you put it at your work? Will your job let you do that? Is there a spare office at your job where you can put a treadmill and bring in a high desk? You can get a treadmill. Yeah, particularly with January coming, because Christmas has already gone by. The New Year's has already gone by. People are already deep sixing the equipment they buy. You can get a great deal. Put something in your office. Get five other people at your office to go in with you and say, look, we're going to put a treadmill in the break room. We're going to put a high desk in there. Use a music stand. It's one of the reasons why I do music stands. I ride my bike. I'll put on TV. I keep track of everything. You know how anal and how journaling intensive I am. I was doing client files at about an average of 20 minutes till the Broncos game came on. Then it took me 40 minutes. But I'm riding the bike. I have my music stand. It's cranked to the top. I've got my tablet on it. It's taking me 40 minutes. I got five more clients done during the Broncos game on Sunday. Find a way to make this fun. Turn your habits around. There's a tool in the audio coaching system. I won't go into it at length tonight. It basically says when people are stuck or people are here and there's some pain attached to here and they look at there and there seems so far, there might be their ideal weight, their ideal fitness. They go, oh, it's so far from here to there. And in a whole toolbox I've called the transitional thinking or the transitional bridge, you know, you've got to step out into that motion. All you have to do really psychologically is turn the bus around. And if old you pops on and turns the bus right back around and goes back to the sedentary, you know, shape, out of shape, whatever your fitness level is that you don't want, turn the bus around. All you want to do is for today be a little better than yesterday and head in that direction, because every step you take is a step closer to where you're going, a step closer to being the person, doing the things that that person does to be that person. Every step you take, that's all you need to focus on. You know, you've heard the journey of 1,000 steps, but then people don't do it. Take a step tomorrow. Take 2 steps tomorrow. take third, fourth, and fifth on Thursday. Move your body. Have fun. Find a way for this to be fun. And sometimes, because I like to just keep it laughter, this is also off my vision board. I've always chuckled at this. Sweat is just fat crying. So sometimes you've got, you know, some Maxine cartoons up there. You can put that in your Google search engine. Exercise, motivation, humor. And look at what Google images will pop up for you. You are, in essence, creating a relationship with your body. I love this quote in the sense that fitness is like a marriage. You can't cheat on it and expect it to work. So cheating with old you ghost voices saying you can't, you won't, you're having a hard time, it's not fun, is just not creating the relationship that you want. You work on your relationship. Some days are great, some days are not. But you're committed to your relationship. Be committed to your body the same way, creating this loving, exciting, fun, enjoyable growth experience. Change the way you look at this and get really excited. Have a lot of fun with who you are. Be more than you are. Now I'm going to give you a really powerful tool. It's called an identity command. But before I cover this, I want to take a pause. I've been going pretty fast and furious here. We've got a lot to cover. Brian, do we have any questions or comments from out there?
Yeah, we got a question from Kathy. She said, do you have a tool for overcoming inertia?
Do you have a tool for overcoming inertia? Yes, I do. And as in a lot of the stuff that I teach, Kathy, there's a number of tools here, and I tend to go to metaphors first. For example, one of the inertial things that we like to do is we say, you know, I just can't. I just can't get up in the morning. You know, it's so hard. I hit the snooze over and over again. Brian, at the conclusion, as part of the notes, I want to send out the alarm clock NLP tool that we've got. In essence, I'll cover it at the executive summary level now. It's about 20 to 30 minutes on a Saturday afternoon. You design the routine that you want to get up with. You put your pajamas on. You get in bed at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Set the alarm for 2:01. Jump out of bed when that alarm goes off. Put your music on. Celebrate. Put great feelings in your body. Go in your closet. Get your clothes on. Go downstairs. Hop on your treadmill for 1 minute. Celebrate again. You're a badass. Be excited. And then go back upstairs. Put your pajamas back on and do it all again. You do this. You know, the original literature I've looked at says do this 10 times, which is going to be an hour. It's 3 or 4 or 5 times I've had people do this. And when their alarm clock goes off on Monday morning, once they've installed it, you know, the criticality being they have a design, they have a why, and then they actually put the habit into motion on the Saturday afternoon. I'll get phone calls at 6 o'clock on a Monday morning from somebody laughing. Because when I'm doing a client session and I'm talking to them, and or I do this in a big seminar. I have a whole room full of people where I turn all the lights out, have this most obnoxious alarm that goes out over the PA system. People get up and celebrate. I'll get phone calls on Monday morning. Go, you son of a bitch. Man, I just got out of bed laughing this morning. And on Friday before, people were saying, oh, I just can't do this. So you have to take a look, Kathy. You know, there is inertia. And you can override it. You can do this kind of tool and you override. If it doesn't work, it's not about the inertia. It's about some form of fear, some form of pain that says, if I move, you know, something far worse and something really, really bad is going to happen to me, that I might be uncomfortable, I might be in pain today, I might not like who I am today. But hey, if I wake up Monday morning and jump out of bed and go down on my treadmill, like that's who I am. Yeah, no, not doing that. There's more pain there for me. So sometimes it's a little bit deeper, but if it's really, really, really time and you're ready to do something, you can just overwrite this software with some of these NLP tools. The other one that I would tell you to take a peek at, and Brian, let's add this one in too, because we've got this in the archives, throw a swish tool in. And a swish tool is a great NLP tool where you're going to take something you don't want, chocolate cake, and you're going to do this swish tool. And what happens is every time if you do swish chocolate cake to carrots, your chocolate cake's your most difficult dessert and you have your little bag of carrots and you don't want to eat them and you call that inertia. No, there's a pattern going on. So when you swish it, and I won't go into that explanation because we've got that in a video. But yeah, Kathy and anybody watching this, there's a whole toolbox full of tools that will take you both at the topical, superficial level of just override it. Because people say, well, I never thought of doing an alarm clock shift like that. The only thing they do is they wake up on Monday morning. You know, maybe they went to bed early on Sunday night because they said, okay, it's 1:15, so I've got to get up and go to the gym. And then all of a sudden it's 6 a.m., 4 a.m., and the alarm's going, and it's dark and it's cold. And they're laying in bed. They're going, I'm not this person. Because they've never taught themselves or told themselves before that alarm happened to convince themselves they were that person. So, and that will be a great exercise to lead into the last one in this. And then I'll come back and check more questions. An identity command. Anytime you say, I am, or talk about yourself as this is real, you create an identity. And again, this is a longer tool if you want to get it out of the audio coaching system. It's also on the membership side. I've got almost 9 pages of adjectives, verbs, and nouns. It follows a format that says, I, and state your name, and this is actually my athletic identity. Just like I have an identity as a husband, as a person, as a father, I have a number of identities. See, hear, feel, know with great certainty. That I'm competitive, fun is mandatory, fit, extreme, warrior athlete, who moves, lifts, stretches, and fights with grace, dignity, and fierce drive to set an example so that anyone can find the potential. When you think about the fact that everybody in NLP, they use these tools. You use the I have a nightmare. You don't use the I have a dream. No one ever taught you I have a dream. Most people's identity command is, Bill Sumner, CEO, know with great certainty that exercise sucks. I'm not an athlete. I wasn't as a kid, or maybe I was in high school, but now I'm out of shape. Now I'm overweight. Now I can't. Now my life's too big. They have an identity statement. Change your freaking identity statement. It's about consciousness to say, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. These are the adjectives that describe me. These are the verbs. This is the noun. I'm an athlete. All 4-year-olds are athletic. Someone has to convince them they're not. Someone has to say, oh, you're too clumsy. Well, you might be clumsy with a baseball bat, but it doesn't mean you're a clumsy dancer. And it doesn't mean maybe you're not a clumsy hiker and a mountain climber. Someone has to encourage you. And what happens is if mom or dad or family of origin were not athletic as parents, they might be saying, oh, you little Billy, you're an athlete. But when you get to be a parent, all you're doing is programming the identity for your 4-year-old to be an athlete. And then when they get to be a parent, because you never wrote an identity that said, I love to move. It's who I am. It what juices me. It makes my world go round. These are some great tools for shifting inertia. Thanks, Kathy. Great question. Brian, any other questions?
Yeah, Kathy asked again if there's a tool for it, if it's not inertia, but actually fear-based. Something worse will happen if you blink.
That'll go back to your ThinkWell webinar that we did the first night. Yeah, there's 30 tools there. In essence, the more pain, less pain that's attached, and this is in, and you can get this in the Towards and Away tool, because I talk about, again, the metaphor is around weight. Overweight people have two questions that they've never asked themselves. Now, first of all, they didn't understand that it's an away pattern, because nobody wakes up in the morning and wants to be overweight. It's an away pattern. All away patterns, by definition, have more and less pain. So you have to ask yourself this first question. What is the overweight then? Which one is more pain, less pain? And what you understand is overweight, because we always migrate to less pain. Overweight is less pain and thin is more pain. That's the law. You cannot get around that software command structure. I defy anyone to argue with me. Now, what you hear in general psychology is, does the fat person want to be thin? And then some people say, well, yeah, I get that that's a tough question. You know, I really do want to be thin, but then I'm sitting here eating Twinkies, so I guess I don't. But see, now you're in this failure with honor. I guess I'm not. When you break it out in a neural pattern, in a scientific way, it is an away condition, which by law is driven by more or less pain. By law, we always move to less pain. If you're overweight, then less pain. So now the second question is, what the heck is so, excuse me, wrong word there. What the heck is more painful about being thin? And so now if you're looking at fear-based work, trying to figure out what's really driving me, you know, now's a good time to call us. Brian is a great coach, can spend some time coaching anybody. We've got a lot of case studies on the membership site. Or anytime we do these seminars, you know, Kath, at the end of the call, if you want to, you know, we'll unmute your mic and you tell us what you're really afraid of. You know, I'm more than happy to work with anybody on a call like this for that. Any other great questions, Brian?
That's it.
All righty. Being myself, that's not risky. It's your ultimate truth, and living this fearlessly becomes a great identity. We're still on this path of I am who I wish to be. No longer do I want to be this person who can't get out of bed that says gyms are hard. I mean, again, all four-year-olds, they love gyms. They have a lot of fun. Now, they may not like this machine or that machine, but what happens when we're adult? We're looking at other people. We're looking at people in spandex, and we're thinking, yeah, no, stop that. And if you don't want to do it at the gym, find a way. YMCAs, high school adult education, free universities in virtually every town. Put something out on Craigslist. Ask in Facebook. Ask your friends. I need a buddy. I want to do something exciting. I want to rediscover how much fun movement is. And I'm looking for someone who will do this. Do it at work. Have people everywhere help you. You have people helping you. Again, this is NLP. The NLP is the people that are assisting you today are most likely assisting you to hate you. Because and they don't even know they're doing it. They're just going to the gym because they like to work out. Or they want to work out. Or they feel like they have whatever they're doing. They're there lifted. They're there on a bike. They're there on a treadmill. They're on a trainer. And you're sitting there beating yourself up with some old ghost voice that's not real. So to get people to assist you to have fun, to find the people in your life on Facebook, at work, in a setting in your town, with your time frame, morning, noon, night, weekends, and create fun, it's there. You can do this. Now, we're moving along at a pretty good clip. I'm going to give this to you as a homework assignment. If you want, write Brian and I and say, you know, what are the excuses that I'm creating? I don't have time. I don't have the money. I'm too busy. I can't. I'm injured. I have the problem. My body is today. I'm too old. You're busy looking at why you can't. And if you make this a T-chart, and this is the cans, well, what's the cans? You know, if you're 65, you're not 85. If you're 200 pounds, you're not 300 pounds. If you can walk, you can begin. If you can walk 50 steps, and again, I know most of the people on this call. Some of you are great athletes. Some of you are armchair, above average athletes. Some of you are in some pain right now. Choose different. Look at what we've covered tonight. You've got to do differently this weekend. And I'm going to give you one. I don't swear very often in these kinds of general, but this is just such an appropriate poster for us. It deserves a swear word. Don't listen to the old ghosts that you feel like giving up. You've got to prove a lot of these people wrong. You've got to prove old you wrong. Because old you is saying, if you do this, there's going to be a problem. Because you can't, you won't, it's going to blow up. You're going to get disappointed. No, 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 and no. Turn the bus around. Find a way to make this fun. And start doing fun things. So let's talk a little bit about the technology at the end, because I don't know, my last 15, 20 minutes here. I want to talk about some of the latest theories that I've been following and studying and have incorporated into my programs. Number one, core exercises. I always do my core, my abs and my lower back, and I hate doing my abs. They're boring. I like lifting big plates. I want a bar with a lot of plates on it. That's exciting and fun to me, doing crunches and abs and bicycles and kick-ups and Vs. I do those at the very beginning of my workout because I don't like doing them. And you can make choices. If you do, it's kind of like eating bad food or the less favorite food. Some people who eat their favorite food don't eat the bad food. And I'm saying bad, maybe it's a healthy, you know, Brussels sprouts for dinner. If you eat them first, you're always going to eat the food that you like. You're always going to do the exercises that you like. And so for me to know that abs come first and abs have as much to do with my nutrition, man, we've got the core covered so that we don't have back pain, lower back, middle back, upper back pain, that our abs are nice and strong. Was there a question, Brian? You waved your arm over there. What are you doing? Now, this doesn't have a photo with it, but this is so, so important. And it always is interesting to me that people really don't understand. You'll be surprised. Maybe you're going to learn something tonight. Again, I know most of you on the call. Maybe you know this. Maybe you don't. There is, in the world of metabolism and energy and health and vitality, massive difference. And most Americans do a horrible job at understanding the difference between aerobic and anaerobic exercise. So let's go through this. Be prepared with any questions you have. This will be a startling one for some of you. Aerobic exercise just means that you are doing exercise in a fat-burning dome, and it's done in the presence with oxygen. Now, if you didn't know this, here's the way your body's designed. You eat food. That's the fuel. It's got energy that you're taking out of the plants, animals, the oils, whatever it is that you're consuming. You're taking energy and fuel out, and you're putting most of it, if you're in an ideal metabolic state, you are not burning it there. You are storing it as fat. It goes, as you eat, straight to fat if your metabolic processes are working correctly. And then it leaves some, and we'll cover the some in a moment, floating around in your blood, because you have two energy systems now. You have your aerobic energy system, which is the long, the slow, the steady pace, the movement, and you want, as between meals, you want energy coming back out of your fat stores and providing you the energy. Now, I said some was left in the bloodstream, because what has happened to us is occasionally we have these things called saber-toothed tigers that come out of the woods and wants to chase us. And we need to sprint. We can only do this for a couple hundred yards, 300 yards, because it's either going to catch us or we're going to sprint to the nearest tree and get up the tree. We have the fight or flight energy in our body, and that requires instant lighter fluid. And as that lighter fluid burns in your bloodstream, what happens then is you're able to put on a burst of speed. You run to solve, create the solution that you need. You huff and you puff. You did this without oxygen because you're sprinting. And that's your way your bodies work. Now, what happened when we started putting so much sugar in our bodies? The body, even though it's smart, it does what it's trained to do, and it's always creating efficiencies. So if it's getting sugar, you know, to put something into fat and then to take it back out of fat and turn it into fuel, it says, well, screw this. Let's just burn sugar. And the more sugar it burns, guess what it does? It craves more sugar. And then because you historically 40, 30, 20 years ago, you know, you're doing things like, oh yeah, high protein, high fat, bad. Carbs, good. I'll do healthy carbs. I'm going to do a healthy muffin, and I'm going to carbo load pasta. And you're creating all of that stuff is high glycemic. It's sugar. And then your body craves it. It takes about beginning around 2 weeks. If you want to break this cycle, this is in basis of Atkins dieting. You want to break this cycle. You got to go into ketosis. You've got to starve your body and have no sugar in any form in your bloodstream, and your body will start to burn your fat stores. So this fight or flight thing that we've come up with, because Americans love hard workouts. Yeah, I'm going to push it, and I'm huffing and puffing. I'm always pedal to the metal. I go into the gym, and I push myself. Number one, you are not burning fat, so you're still upsetting. You get out of the gym and you crave carbs. You crave some form of energy. You have to get really, really smart around what's anaerobic, what's aerobic. You must, if you don't know how to do this, start today, start now with a heart monitor. The standard formula, and it's good if you've never done it, there is some, and Mercola.com has got some sophistication and some distinctions on this. But in general, if you take your age, subtract it from 180, and add 5 to it if you are in great shape, and subtract 5 if you are out of shape, if you're just in average shape, just take 180 minus your age, and that is the top do not exceed level for your heart rate. And that will put you into a metabolic fat burning process. You know, and the first time I learned this, I mean, I don't mind sharing my picadillos and my foibles and weaknesses. This is when I ran into Dr. Blake in 93, man. Up until that point, I was pedal to the metal. Every time I worked out, I had a heart monitor. But to me, a heart monitor was a speedometer, and I wanted to go as fast as I could. So if I was working out at a 165 heart rate and I could push it to 170, I thought that was a good thing. And as I got into better shape, your heart rate comes down, blah, blah, blah. I was always working against myself. I was in a total anaerobic state, and then I'd go eat muffins and spaghetti and have all these what I thought was healthy foods. and I wasn't burning fat. And so when I had to start out, and I had just moved to the mountains of Colorado where my red blood cells were, and I ended up going like, okay, you have to do your heart rate at 135. Oh my God, I had to get off my bike and walk it. And the goofy thing was, I could breathe fine. I would get done with the 2-hour workout of riding my bike, and I wasn't sweating, and I felt great. And this is how goofy I was. I felt great, and I thought, huh, there's something wrong with this. I'm supposed to be, you know, lactic acid burning and sore and tired because no, that's not what we're designed to do. That's why a lot of people's exercise is not fun, because they do it in an anaerobic state. When you play, move, have fun, and do it aerobically, what happened, and it took me almost 6 months to do this, I was biking at the same miles per hour, doing the same speed and pace. 6 months later, only I was doing it at 135, not at 165. And that's where real fitness starts to come in. Big, big, big topic for you. If you have any questions or comments, bring them up on the end of the call. And or if you're not aware of this, this is a big area for you to go really add some great knowledge to. I'm going to cover two more tools with you tonight. And we're down to 7 minutes. All right, periodization. This is a tool that came from the Russians after the Iron Curtain fell. In the 70s and 80s, again, I've been a big weightlifter my whole life. Russians kicked our butts over and over and over again. And we go to another Olympics, we get another coach, we try and figure out what the heck was going on. Why were Russians always winning? Well, we found out after the Iron Curtain fall, they followed something that was absolutely foreign to us. So it would have been in the early 90s when this concept really came into focus for American and other fitness enthusiasts. In essence, what they said was they created cycles. And the cycle began with your record attempt. Now, the record could be a single lift. It could be a bike race. It could be a speed track. It doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing athletic at the record attempt. Could be the Olympics. Could be the Nationals. Could be 2 years from the Olympics. And this is just a regional. Because they did cycles within cycles, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but at the record attempt for this cycle, what they would then do is go into a complete rest period. And if it was the Olympics, their rest could be as much as 6 months long. Meanwhile, we'd rest 2 weeks and go back into the gym because we got our asses kicked. They would rest 6 months on a big multi-year cycle. If it was a national, they might rest a month and not do anything at the exercise of their choice. They would not be back into the gym lifting. They would be resting. And then the third cycle, they would start back with light and they would focus on form. And then they would do that for a time period. And then they would go to medium and still on form. And then they would go to heavy. And now they're bringing the reps down. Maybe they're doing heavy triples. Maybe they're doing a heavy set of singles, building up to their record attempt. Now, the point of this is the biggest things that American pedal to the metal exercise aficionados missed is they don't rest very well. And when you totally rest, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not a super fan of CrossFit, because they don't do a good job of resting in their cycles. When you put this rest together and then go back to light, working on form, working your way to heavy, and then repeat the cycle. And as I said, oops, I need to do that. There are cycles within the cycles. And by the way, I teach this as a psychological software tool as well. Because if you do your job this way, if you do money this way, what it allows you to do is while you're resting on money, maybe you're heavy and focused on love. And if you're resting on love, you know, maybe this is a time that you're working extra heavy on your health or your spirituality. You can cycle other things. This ability to take rest and not just be in a go, 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 go state. The other place we talk about this tool is in the Mach 1 tool. When you're Mach 1 in all that you do, what it allows you to be is Mach 1 in rest, which again is something all four-year-olds get. That's why when they sleep and nap, they sleep and nap at a 10. That's why their arm drops and why they're totally out of it. And Americans who live at an 8 and stress at a 9 and don't exercise at all or do low amount of exercise, well, they don't get any sleep either. And we talked about that in the first webinar. So periodization is a very, very important concept. Again, I'm willing to take any questions or comments on the caller afterwards. And then the last thing, having said what I said about aerobic and anaerobic, I felt that it would be fair. There is one thing that you might want to research. And again, it's probably going to be the more advanced athletes on this call. It's not going to be someone that's struggling just to walk or struggling to get to the gym. You're not going to want to do this in any beginning phases. But as you get more sophisticated, if you notice here, I'm going to page through, I gave you the article, one of the seminal articles that's got a lot of scientific summary on it here. In essence, there's a thing that's called high-intensity training. Now, there's different formulas for different schools of thought, but in essence, they follow this formula. It's going to be rapid cycling, meaning 1 minute on, 3 minutes off, 30 seconds on, 20 seconds off. It's rapid cycling on and off, multiple cycles. So you might do a 20-minute HIIT cycle where you're going to do, in that 20 minutes, you're going to do a 5 to 8 warm-up. You're going to do a 5-minute warm down. And maybe for the 12 minutes in between, you're going to be hitting, 20 seconds on, 40 seconds, bringing your heart rate down. But when you're hitting that 20, it is at max effort for 20 seconds. It's called high intensity training. It can, and I put can and emphasize can, it can maximize benefits, but you got to be ready to do this. You've got to be in shape for it. But for those of you that are pedal to the metal, and this is something I do incorporate in my workouts, if you are pedal metal the type, once you've gone through the period, you've done your record, you've taken your rest, you're coming through slow medium, by the time you're getting high medium or hitting your heavy cycles, again, whether it's lifting, whether it's martial arts, whatever it is, you're going to discover that there's some really cool things that you can do with high intensity and it feels good. But it's only for 20 seconds. Again, I emphasize when I first moved here in 93, I'm doing a 2-hour exercise trying to keep my heart rate at 170. That's not what this is about. But it is cyclical and it's creating a max effort in a very, very short time. And it is cycling very, very quickly. So we've been at it an hour. I never know where the time goes. When I look at this stuff, I was like, gosh, can I get through this? I don't have enough slides. I need more slides. There's so much fun stuff going on. Let me wrap this whole series up and make a couple of points. Number one, this is all about operating systems and operating software that your health, your energy, your vitality is a function of, in essence, three different areas that you have to think well, and you got to be very conscious, and that you now have some great content to look at to change how you think about your health, energy, and vitality. You're going to want to eat well. That's the fuel point. You're a Ferrari now. Even if you're carrying some extra weight or you're not in the greatest shape or too much cholesterol, you're a Ferrari now. You want to really, really look. We've had some people go get Alcat tests that are clients. They are always shocked at what foods they think are healthy for them. Like I told you, I could not eat romaine lettuce. I could eat all the chicken I want, but not pork. And Isabella, on the other hand, could eat all the pork she wanted and not chicken, and she could eat romaine. Your body reacts in a certain way to certain foods. To get that profile, if you can afford it, it's just, you'd be shocked. The people that go on Alcat diets, when I had to remove cashews, I loved cashews. They're in my severe category. Rarely do I eat cashews. Rarely eat romaine lettuce, butternut squash. Yet other things, you know, I've been dairy free for a number of years. Yeah, I'm fine on goat's milk. So I got goat milk and I got goat cheese. It's the only thing I got back from all the things that I gave up. I had to go to using pepper every 4 days. And I used to screw the top off a pepper shaker. You are a Ferrari. You need to figure out your specific fuel load. And then today we tried to energize, reignite your thought process and your desires and your drivers to have fun with your body. Play. It's not a workout. It's playtime. Go play. Go enjoy yourself. You are deep inside still a four-year-old that likes to run places, likes to be excited about life, can't wait to get to where they're going. Particularly when, as all of these things happen, as you're shifting how you think about things and you're creating more health and energy, you're just getting, it's so exciting to be you. And that's what we try to create in this little three-part series. Tell your friends about it. We'd love to see people. We'll do another cycle, probably February, March on health. We do this about once a quarter. It's so important that people really understand at the cutting edge. We've been led down, you know, a government that's taken fat out. We've replaced natural fats with trans fats and hydrogenated fats. You know, we're in a mental sinkhole of a drug cornucopia that we just can't get ahead of. I went to a seminar with Brian a couple of weeks ago. I don't even know what to tell you how appalling it was. And again, the people there, they're loving, they're kind, they're compassionate. They think they're doing the right things, just as the last nurse doctor team that put leeches on, or the last scientific team that was just preaching the earth is flat. They just knew. Yeah, this is a fast-moving world. It behooves you to get educated. Bring some friends next time. Get excited to be you. Rediscover far more power and potentiality for who you are. Thank you very much for your time. Brian, we have any final questions tonight? Everybody, thank you. If you have any questions, you think about something, write us an email, give us a phone call. I appreciate your time tonight. I appreciate the time that you spent on these three webinars. I value you a lot in my life, and I wish you the absolute best. Have an awesome, awesome evening. Take care, everybody.